What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of your favorite podcast. This is episode 125 of the Prodigal Sons podcast, and we have quite a show for you. I'm excited. We got a lot to get to, and without further ado, what's up, Sean?
Hey, how are you?
What's up there, Elijah?
What's going on, man?
What's up, Tom?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good.
I got to work in my name because I never say my name.
Never.
What's up, Dave?
I got to say, hi, I'm Dave.
And we should say hi to you.
Nah, it's a little weird.
All at the same time. Hi, Dave.
What's up? Let's try this now. How are we doing, Lisa? She's doing just fine.
One day.
You know what it is? It's not going to be a good day when she speaks.
The mic is like literally nowhere near her.
Yeah, she has to have, the producer has to have a mic. And she, the first thing she did when she took over the job is just move it as far away from her as humanly possible. But the day that she speaks is not going to be a good day for me. It's going to be a day that I upset her so much that she swings that mic over and I'm going to run for the hills.
No, we won't let you out.
So I've been promising, a little subtly, if you haven't noticed the last couple of episodes, that I have big news. And today is the day I get to share.
Oh, joy.
Today is the day.
This is the day.
There is some exciting news in my church that I go to. We have a brand new pastor.
Boom, ba, boom, boom, ba.
Do we now?
We do. There was a vote on Sunday, and the pastor of the church is, drumroll.
Well, I voted not really, but...
I actually just declined. I didn't take a ballot.
Okay.
I did. I lied. I took a ballot.
All right. So are you going to tell him? Or
It's the man sitting right next to me.
It's the man sitting right next to me.
Well, he's not sitting next to Sean.
Nope. Not sitting next to me.
He used to sit next to Sean.
Used to. Back in the day.
Back in the day when we first started.
So when you guys had the vote, is it not like one of those things that says, like, you must be this tall to ride this ride?
We had to change a few things in the manual. We had to change a few things in the manual to get it in. Congratulations, Pastor
Thank
Tom.
You, man.
Congratulations,
Thank
brother.
Thank you.
I am still in awe at this whole thing. I'm humbled. I can't. Literally speechless.
It really, in all seriousness, we'll get to the fun stuff, but in all seriousness, God definitely took this church in a direction where he knew where it was coming. He knew where the church was going to, and he knew what the leadership was going to look like. And it was one of those situations as a board member that it was very, very clear that Pastor Pete was moving on, but God had already brought the next pastor to the church. And it was like, hey, you don't have to go through a process. I've been through that process a couple of times. And it's not fun, and it's stressful, and it's all kinds of stuff you don't want in a church. But it was like, God was like, I knew this was coming. Your pastor is right there.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I'm not going to get into the whole thing in this show. Maybe we'll do that in another episode. But Claire and I have been reflecting a lot in the last 5 years, and we now clearly see Jesus in every detail, bringing us exactly to this point, from the gym to the ice cream shop to the ministry to the ice cream shop closing to the shelter opening and me denying that job and just staying here, and it's just, he's just been preparing me the whole time for it, and it's been truly a journey that I had no idea that it was going to end like this. But now looking back, it was like, well, yeah, God was literally in every single detail to bring me to this point.
This is not the end, though. It's just a new beginning.
That's right.
It will be the end very soon.
Well, I'm not on the board. You are, Dave, so you can help figure that out.
But hey, you know, as I didn't think it'd be appropriate to do this show after you've been voted in as a pastor without bringing you a gift. And so...
Oh, wow.
You could pop your headphones off if you want, because I got you a gift, and I want you to try it on. I know you said, you know, this is very appropriate. You're going to be preaching quite a bit. And what this is one of my suit jackets from my heavier days. And if you're listening on a podcast, you might want to click over to Facebook.
Watch it fit perfectly.
So I got you. Brought you,
hey,
one of my suits.
How are you?
So this is, you know, it works with all different kinds of...
Well,
it could work with jeans.
You just have to take the sleeves in a little bit.
I'll wear this on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
I was gonna say my mic is off. Looks good. I don't have that.
And you know, they said there's room for growth too.
There is
room for growth. So, both ways.
I love it. Am I allowed to keep it?
It's Listen, if you don't want it, it's for illumination.
Can I try it on?
But it's listen,
hang on to that. I have a sermon idea for that. So hang on, I'll talk to you after the show. See, I do all the visuals, so.
I'm hoping you're serious.
I am serious.
Thing is,
I seriously would love to wear that at one of my sermons.
I look about like Tom when I'm wearing it.
Pops the collar and everything. Really good. You got the collar pop. All right,
y'all go ahead and do the show. Whatever.
Yeah, it was the hat, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I was going to draw a little something on my ballot on Sunday, Tom, but I thought it might
Tom,
be
get a picture of that real quick.
We're on video. We can just take a still.
Well,
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Get a close-up.
Wow.
That's all GQ right there.
He pulls that off. He's not coming back to the show. He's just going to stand there all day.
He's done. He's going to go stand in the corner of the Bible study in the other room and just stand there and not say a word.
So that's that. All right, well, everybody, that's been episode 125.
Thank you.
All right.
Come back. No, and it's cool. It's actually interesting because today we talk a little bit about the testimony.
Yeah.
So that'll...
Yeah, what an episode. What a day to do that, huh?
Yeah, we didn't plan that at all.
That you know of.
That I know of.
No, that was one of the best board meetings I'd been in. You know, just to shed light on that. I mean, when we had to decide if we were going to go ahead with Pastor Tom, it was just like... All right, so that's done. What's next? I mean, it was like 30 seconds, and you know, it wasn't a struggle, and that was nice for me.
That's good. It's very nice.
So, looking forward to the next chapter.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
What are you pointing at?
This box that's open up here.
All right. Well, okay. I believe that Tom is turning over a new leaf. He has no Red Bull here. Going to be a little bit of a downer of a show.
OJ?
He's got a little OJ going on, a little orange juice.
No added sugar.
A little vitamin C, a little detoxification going on.
He also has these Quest bars that he thinks are healthier than M&M's.
Gooey caramel. You know, that's all processed, right?
Yeah. I know. Dave already...
Dave will destroy it.
He did. He's like, dude, you know they're not better than M&M's. They're about the same.
First of all... Let's not pretend that I didn't rip the OJ too.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not healthy, but it's like six steps forward from Red Bull. So we'll go there. I was like, and he was like, what about these? They're better than M&M's. I was like, nah, no, they're not.
Oh, really?
Tom?
Hey, you're trying.
I am.
It's like the kindergartner scribbling on the floor with a crayon. You're trying. You're trying to write Ulysses.
Listen, I was playing basketball last night, and I'm not exaggerating because he saw it. I was literally getting ready to pass out and die. And Elijah looks at me and said, keep running. I'm like, okay.
He's not lying. He was like, he tried to inbound the ball. I'm like, no, you're not just going to sit still and catch a breath. No, keep going.
Yeah.
And what happened as soon as we checked the ball?
I scored.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It felt good to finally be running around again. It's been so long. And it's funny because Daryl walked in and he goes, Pastor Tom, what's going on there? I'm like, thanks.
You should take over for RJ Barrett on the Knicks. He's terrible.
Are the Knicks coming to town at all?
That would be a game for all four of us to go to.
I'm down.
It wasn't me. That was that.
Yeah, the whole show.
Yeah,
I was thinking of everybody.
We actually talked about that. Because the thing is, as a Knicks fan, you can't go to Madison Square Garden and see him. I mean, you could. If Lisa and I could go see him if we sold both of our cars. Because that's horrible.
Yeah.
Is the Knicks like an XFL team?
No, it's like the opposite of an XFL team.
Even when they're bad, they're still expensive seats.
But the thing is, it's a celebrity thing. And so people go, when they're bad, they go to see celebrities.
Just like the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the Lakers. So if we go to Philly, I mean, nobody wants to go to Philly. So like we could probably see the 76ers play the Knicks for like...
Are they an XFL team?
There's some.
No, they have much smaller stadium. Than an XFL team.
Oh, okay.
So
like an AAU team.
Yeah, something like
that. How is that league going? Not the XFL, but the new football league that's out right now.
XFL.
Is it XFL? How's it doing?
I am hearing good things about it.
Have you seen any games? Watched?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I have. Have you guys? I've been watching a little bit. Not I've watched full games, but I've been watching some of them.
It's one of those things. It's like when you watch the football, any given Sunday.
Yeah.
When they have a football... something that doesn't have a real team's name, it seems so silly.
Yeah.
Like that was the San Jose Sharks or something in Any Given Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Something like
that. And so you hear these XFL team names and it's like the Baltimore Boulders.
This is a sea serpents. I watched the other day.
I know they're real teams, but it's like sea serpents.
It was sea serpents. Okay. It's a little hard. It's a little weird to watch as an NFL fan because the rules are there's a lot of different rules. You can do a 3-point conversion.
Right.
In the after the 2-minute warning, first half and second half, the clock stops with every first down. So it's like an extra timeouts during the it's just weird. It's hard.
And instead of an onside kick, I heard you can do a 4th and 15 conversion.
Yes, a 4th and 15
that's
conversion.
That's the onside kick to get the ball back. If you convert a 4th and 15, which I think is kind of silly.
Wait, explain that again. If you convert the 4th and 15.
So if you, instead of kicking an onside kick.
Set the scene. So the Houston Roughnecks are behind 2 touchdowns to the San Antonio Brahmas. And they get 1 touchdown. They need the ball back.
The real teams?
Yes.
Or like the D.C. Defenders were playing the Vegas Vipers.
I think that's the Rocks team.
Yeah, yeah. And they say they're playing the Vegas Vipers. And they're down by 2 touchdowns. They score a touchdown. They need the ball back. There's 30 seconds left. And
so they get to do a 4th and 15. I believe it's from the 35. I just saw one the other day. That's why I was trying. I think it's the 30. It's either 35 or the 45. I can't remember. But if they convert that, they keep the ball. If not, it just turns over like it would in normal 4th down in a regular game.
But would it turn over at
so on downs.
I know on downs, but where would they place the ball?
Sorry, so it's the 35 to the. They have to get to the 50. So if they get stopped at like the 47. Then
gotcha.
They'd get the ball at that spot. But
it seems like a 4th and 15 is easier than an onside kick.
Yeah. I mean, you got a better chance sometimes. But
I'm not saying it's easy.
I mean, it's one thing I don't like about that is what would happen if there was a defensive holding on a 4th and 15. Then I guess it
automatic first down. Yeah, I haven't gotten that far. Yeah, so I've watched a bit of it.
Is it a pass interference?
Isn't it? Yeah, I mean, but you have to like drop kick somebody. Probably it's the XFL.
Yeah, you drop like a Macho Man elbow to the chest or something.
Like they're not as strict with the pass interference in that league, right?
It's basically everything else is basically the same. It's just it's just some weird things.
So
you can
when
do
it
additional.
First came out years ago, there was no pass
was
interference
bad.
Then, right?
I don't know the rules, but I know it was bad.
It was different. It was
took some time for them to get it.
So I did hear one story about the Orlando Guardians, Terrell Buckley. Is
the name sounds
Buckley.
He played in the NFL.
Yep.
He's their coach. I haven't watched 1 second of this, but there was I guess his team got beaten pretty bad and a reporter asked him after the game or at halftime, I'm not sure, but said, "What do you need to do to play more competitively?" And he said, "I need to replace my entire team. They're all terrible."
Yeah, it's interesting cuz there are a few NFL players that are playing in there. I'm trying to think there was a big name that just defected over the other day. It was a backup quarterback. And they made this big deal about he'd rather take the pay cut.
Kobe Brissett?
No.
Is it AJ McCown?
It might have been McCarron. Yeah. McCown. He said I want my kids to see me play.
Yeah, he wanted to play. So he took a pay cut and went to the XFL so he could play, start every day.
He was a legit backup in the NFL. He could get a big paycheck for doing nothing, but he said, "I want my kid to be able to see me play." That's pretty cool.
He said, "I'd rather have the memories, he wanted them to remember him for playing, but not the memories of just being in the NFL." So that was pretty cool to see.
All right, Tom, we're getting a lot of comments, a lot of questions. People are blowing up my phone at night when I'm trying to just chill out. They want to know what's going on with the laptop.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because we were supposed to talk about that 2 weeks ago, and then last week
it's trending on Twitter.
So. Just a quick recap. I got a laptop. It took me, I've had it for like 4 or 5 months. Didn't do anything with it.
Years.
Brand new laptop.
Finally, I came on the show. I was made fun of. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have that brand new laptop here next Tuesday. Watch me. So, Monday night, I decided to open it up. And it was dead, which I was shocked because when I first got it, I charged it, but it was dead.
Yeah.
And, I started signing up with all the stuff, you know, and then there was a part where I had to put a number in, and I went like this to put the number in. There was no keypad, and I told my wife, I said, I can't have a laptop without a keypad. I just can't do it. And she goes, well, I'll take it. I'm like, fine, take it. So she took it. I came on the show, and 2 days later, I got a new laptop, and the very next day, I loaded it up. I started it. But so here's the thing. I went to Best Buy, and I told the guy, I said, listen, I need a laptop with a keypad. And he said, the only laptops with the keypad these days are gaming laptops. Those are the ones that come with the keypad.
Yep.
Now, the thing with the gaming laptop is that, you know, they're made for games. So when you're actually on a laptop, it might be a little slower than those other laptops. So I ended up, after all that, getting a laptop without a keypad. No keypad. And I still, to this day, I go like this. I'm like, oh, wait. And then I got to go up here. It's just weird. So my wife actually said the same thing you did. She goes, you should just get a wireless keyboard and use that instead.
Yeah, you get a hub, plug it into, use a monitor.
Yeah.
It's funny, you get a laptop, and then you don't use it as a laptop. You plug it into, like, a desk.
Oh, yeah.
Use it as a screen.
I do, yeah, for sure.
Well, you still use the screen on yours, right?
This is the only place, other than if I'm doing something, like, on my couch. This is the only time that the lid is open on the laptop. At work, it's plugged into my desk setup.
Oh, so you have two different monitors already set up at your work.
Mm-hmm. Two monitors, a mouse, and a keyboard. And I just sit it off to the side and plug it in.
See, that's the thing. If I did have two monitors, then I would have three screens. I would have the two monitors, and I would still use this one.
No, you
so
would.
You'd get
yeah, I would.
What if you got three monitors?
I would.
Then you had four.
Just get three monitors.
You'd have four screens open.
Because sometimes you have like a couple windows open. I would just have them open.
You could keep running that all the way out.
I'll tell you what. For school, it's easy to have like several things opened up at once.
What if you had 12? You'd have 13. I'm not going to waste this. You just don't want to waste the screen. I got it.
Yeah.
12 monitors. I still have my laptop up.
So let me ask you this. So you keep it closed?
Yeah.
And it still operates?
Yeah. You have to go into settings and make it operate when the lid is closed.
Oh.
So also, if I just close it and throw it in my bag, it'll be dead tomorrow.
So why not just have a desktop?
Because I want to take this from work to my home office, plug it in there, or leave the screens up and take it here. Because everything revolves around the podcast.
All right, that makes sense. But yeah, I would still keep the screen and just add an extra one.
How many phone numbers do you know?
One.
One, right? Elijah, how many phone numbers do you know?
One phone numbers that are still in operation.
Yes. Yeah. How many do you know?
Well, that's the best. I know
that is a great other, question.
I know a lot of numbers that aren't on operation.
Right. Yeah. Other than 911.
My
number.
What's poison control? 811?
811's a
what's,
call for
what's
the,
movie
that's
phone?
A dig.
I don't know. I remember Time.
Time?
Oh, we used to call to get the time?
Yeah. Did you know about that, Dave?
Probably still active.
Yeah.
No,
it was to call a phone number to find out what time it was of the day.
Ever since I was born, we knew what time it was. Sean, how many phone numbers do you know?
Quite a few, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
I still remember phone numbers. I don't know why.
But are they still active?
No, yeah. When people give me the numbers from my phone, I still remember. Half the time, I don't even use the presets.
Okay, I'm going to test that.
Don't ask me any of you guys' phone numbers.
Anybody in this room?
No.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I don't call you guys all the time.
Oh,
it's numbers I call all the time.
Interesting.
Oh.
What do you mean you call? It's not like you dial. You just push a name.
No,
I think there might be a special call.
I dial Andres' phone number. When I call Andres during the day, I dial his phone number.
Why? That's a lot of pushing.
Because I know it, so I just do it.
That makes no sense.
You know what? It doesn't make sense to you guys. I like it.
Do you remember the...
It helps keep the mind
sharp. You don't do it.
I don't, but I'm gonna try and start.
No, you're not.
I am.
We'll talk about this next week.
Oh,
you're
absolutely.
Not.
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay.
Bro.
We'll see.
Do you remember the phone number of the house you grew up in?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think I do.
I do.
610-287-7477.
336-9145.
Before you want to call him? Right? I want to call him right now.
617.
What'd you say?
282-4099.
610.
Yeah. Should I call him?
Actually... It's interesting because it used to be 215, mm-hmm. and then they changed it to 610.
What?
They
ripped it right out from under you.
Yeah, but anyway.
I don't want to call them.
Yeah. And my original number never was 215. It was just a straight 336-9145.
I don't even think I remember the prefix of my phone number.
So you can call mine. Boston 617. So you just pick, oh, I'm from Pennsylvania. I meant to hit 610. My mistake. If they answer, you can just be like, oh.
All right, what is it?
617-282-4099.
Hang on. 617. Yeah.
282-4099.
All right. Calling.
No speaker.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to jail.
Live in the air.
Dorchester, Mass.
Dorchester, Massachusetts.
The number you have dialed is not in service.
I forgot to pay the bill.
It's not in service. I was going to ask him if this was the brick factory.
Excuse me. I grew up in a brick building, actually, which is funny. I grew up in a brick apartment building.
That's when why I fell down, because you kept taking
them out of the wall and hitting people with them.
Now I'm curious.
I know exactly.
Are we going to call everybody's phone number?
I'm calling my home number.
Oh, here we go. We're going to start a whole thing.
Please don't be in service.
His number's going to ring.
I hope it's somebody who's angry.
Please don't be in service. Please don't be in service. How do we get here?
I don't know.
Why don't you try calling?
Is this what we're doing now?
It's not even going through. It just says calling.
It just says calling.
It's an Android.
All right, listen.
Okay, all right.
What was the number? What was the number you called to get the time?
I forgot. It was something 212 or something.
Welcome to Movie Phone.
I don't know what the number was.
Remember you used to call to find out? Allison, listen up. You used to call a number and to find out what movies were playing and at what time, and they would actually read you.
That's the number to call.
Is it 1212?
It's 202-762-1401. They got complicated now.
Yeah, they really got complicated. Wow,
that's crazy.
But it was a simple number. It wasn't it wasn't a seven-digit number.
No, it was real simple.
Yeah, those were back in the day when you'd have to listen to your school number when it snowed.
Yeah,
and if you missed it, you have to wait for the whole list to go through it.
Speaking of time, calling to get the time today, you know when you're getting older and you got a lot of things on your mind?
Yeah.
Sometimes you do some things that are just really, really silly.
Yeah.
So today, I'm building a fence. And
that sounds horrible.
Yeah, and I knew I... On Tuesdays,
you're installing a fence or you're building a fence?
Well, you're down by the Rio Grande.
No wall?
Come on, you guys are terrible. You guys are awful. Listen, just because I wanted to build a fence to keep people out on one side where they belong doesn't mean what you think it means.
You're supposed to say you wanted to build a wall to keep yourself in.
Insular, yeah. I'm just trying to keep... So I'm at the shop. We're reorganizing some stuff. And there's another guy on who rents the construction yard, and he needed more space, so we moved the fence. Anyway, where was I? So Tuesday is the only day that it matters what time it is, because I just work until the job's done, and then I go home, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, whatever it is. Tuesday, I got a place to be. I got to go to the Prodigal Sons podcast. So I'm actually checking the time, but because I was working on a fence, I didn't have my watch with me, and I'm not at my workbench working on equipment, so I don't have a clock there. So I actually needed to check the time, and I pulled out the tape measure to see what time it was.
You made a sundial.
I wish I made a sundial. I wish that's where my head was at. But yes, thank you.
I got you now.
My subconscious said, there's numbers there.
I got you now.
I mean, it was a millisecond because I didn't actually, like, I reached for the tape measure to pull it out. And I was like, that's not going to help me. It's not going to tell me what time it is.
That was today?
17. It's 14 and a half.
That was today?
That was today.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like 3:05.
That's something I would never expect from you.
No,
you got a lot of common sense.
14 and a half. Well, 14.
See, because I don't usually admit to when I do stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess. Because, I would have never
just take the first number minus 12.
I mean, that's not that far from walking into the kitchen and being like, why am I here? Why? How many times a day do you do that? How many times a day do you do that?
Because I don't eat that much, not that often. I'm only going in there either for water, fruit, or a piece of bread with peanut butter on it.
I walk into the garage. Why am I here? Why am I here? Let's spend the next 3 minutes trying to figure out why I'm here. You know what? I'm just going to go back to where I was, and then I'll remember. And then I'll go back to where I was. And, oh, yeah. We need a paper towel, so I'll go back to the garage.
I do that when I walk in the bathroom. I'm like, why did I come in here?
I mean, it's flip a coin. It's one or the other.
It's one of the, it's sit or stand. It's,
maybe a shower. Maybe if you went in there to shower, you could be confused.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
You get like, oh.
That wasn't it.
that was not the one. All right.
Oh, man. All right, let's move along. Okay. I had... If I told you...
Are you serious?
This what?
The time from the tape measure. I'll never forget.
Oh, you know what? No, you know what? We do have one other thing. Would you rather? I've been waiting to ask you guys your opinion on this one. I heard this one this week. I think this is a pretty good one. One question. I need to know where you stand. Would you rather, if I told you that you could. Am I boring you already?
No.
Usually, it's like halfway through the topic.
He was surprised. That was a.
Okay.
Ecstatic.
We got to get him a mute button. He wouldn't use it. Now I'm yawning. It's not right. Okay. If I gave you the choice.
You're holding it back, aren't you?
Try it.
Me too. The yawn.
Okay. Would you take this proposition or would you not?
Your last would you was horrible.
Hopefully this one will be better.
Oh, hopefully.
You can go to half court on an NBA basketball court.
Is that in the XFL?
It's not in the XFL.
My bad.
You go to the NBA, you go to the 76ers or whatever. Crowd full of people. Mm-hmm. Everybody's watching you. You get 10 shots from half court.
I'll make one of those.
I'm making one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jack Daniels?
Okay. Absolutely.
You get 10 shots from half court. $50 million if you make one. All you got to do is make one for $50 million.
That's way easy.
Hang on. That is easy. Hang on. You don't make any. You go to jail for 2 years. Maximum security prison for 2 years.
I'm
no visitors, out. No nothing.
I'm walking out with $50 million.
With that kind of pressure.
That's not the question. The question is, would you
do it? Would you do it?
Yeah.
No, because you could say, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. So 10 shots, half court. Mm-hmm. But you understand what happens.
Yeah.
You missed the first one.
You know what's crazy?
You missed the second one. You missed the third.
Then the pressure
four, builds. Then five. You start sweating. And then you start freaking out.
And then you know what else happens?
Man, you are a gamer.
You get to go away for 2 years without having to pay rent or food.
Vacation or $50 million?
But you wouldn't hard decision. You wouldn't see your children.
I'll see them.
Well, they get visitation.
So here's the thing with me.
Put your hands on the glass.
I really, really believe that I would make 1 out of 10. That does sound easy.
It does.
You can practice as much as you want.
But I would I would deny the offer.
You're going to walk out there cold. Up until, let's say it's 3 months from now that you're going to do these, you could practice a million times a day if you want to. But the day you walk out there cold. No warm up, no nothing.
It's off the glass.
It's like riding a bike.
Yeah, it's off the glass. Thanks.
I wouldn't do it.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Well, I feel like trying
do
this.
Do you have faith in yourself?
Sean, I'll answer that in a second. I'm very curious to see what Sean
I think it's say. Easier to say yes right now than if you actually were in that situation.
Yeah.
Sean, what do you think?
So I'm going for it.
You lie.
Really?
I'm going for it.
I think I would do it. I think.
And if I miss all 10, let them try and take me.
You know what? My man.
I got a brick in my and back it's a pocket. Bunch of, it's a bunch. No, I mean, for years, my uncle used to make me shoot free throws, and I couldn't leave the key until I hit 100 in a row. So I think I'd have a shot. Honestly, I don't play basketball, but I think I still have a shot. Muscle memory.
So wait. Let's talk about that story.
I never told you that story.
So you actually made 100 free throws in a row.
I was not allowed to leave the court until I did.
So you made 100 or in a row?
100 in a row. I could not miss one.
Why do you look so surprised? I believe my brother. You look surprised.
Listen, I had to. My uncle would run around the basketball. He would jog around until I did it. He would count. He would watch every free. So if I was at 99, missed that 100th, I had to start over again. I was not allowed to leave.
If that's true, you need to go train some of these guys.
I could have taught Shaquille O'Neal to at least go 50%. I saw like
14 missed free throws last night. And I'm like, if I was a professional NBA player and I was shooting like 60% free throws, when the season was over, I would do nothing but throw free throws.
You know why I said no? I watched Steph Curry do the half-court thing. Someone was going to win charity money, and he got 3 shots to make one. He missed all three. He ended up shooting 7. The 7th one he missed, and then he walked off the court. So that's why I would say I wouldn't do it.
I absolutely would not do it, and for less reason than you think. It's just I've evaluated this over time.
Well, for you, would you do 10 layups or 2 years?
I would get one of the layups. Yeah, I would definitely get one of the I would do that. I would do that. The no, I mean it's seriously, I think that's a big risk.
It is a big risk.
It's a big risk and it's not worth it because
it's not worth it.
To me, I'm a pretty simple guy. My life doesn't change with $50 million. Let's see. So here's where we landed. Sean would do it, but even if he missed all of them, he would brick somebody. And Elijah's a gamer. He said, I would make it.
I think I'll, yeah.
And then if I didn't, I'd get the best 2 years of sleep I'd ever had.
I didn't say that.
And Tom says,
I think I would make it, but I would not take the deal.
You would not take the deal. You think you could do it, but you
would not. I believe I can, yeah, but I would not. I mean, next time I'm on the court, I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
But there's no pressure there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in the back of your head, you're like, 2 years. That plays into it. But no, I wouldn't take. I can't take that deal. I got a grandkids.
It's funny though, because you could start figuring out what would you do: 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You got to figure out where your breaking point is. For me, it might be like a month. No, I don't even think I'd do it.
I think it shouldn't be set. I think it should be a negotiation.
A negotiation.
Well, you should get time to depend on how many
you
miss. Instead
of 50, you got 2 years here, and you got $50 million here.
Was this considerably better than the last? Would you rather?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the 2 years in jail would be easier than 2 2 years in a dark room, though.
Sure.
If you go 2 years in a dark room, yeah, like that. Like, I don't even know that your eyes would work anymore.
You're coming out an X-Man at that point. You are developing some kind of superpower at that point.
Man.
Deadpool.
You would be able to see in the dark at that point, wouldn't you?
Oh, you'd have night vision. Like, you'd just be out.
No. You would just need to be in the dark forever because you go out in the sun and there's no sunglasses. You'd be wearing welder's helmet.
Like the Chronicles of Riddick.
You have the glasses on.
All right. Last thing. Uh-oh. Here we go. All right. I'm going to read you some side effects, and I want you to tell me.
Tylenol.
Viagra.
Here we go.
Okay. Here's what you don't want to do after taking this thing.
What's wrong with you?
You don't want... For 24 hours, you don't want to do any rigorous exercise. You don't want to be near heat or sun. And you definitely can't drink any alcoholic beverages. Exposure to this medication could lead to temporary redness, swelling, itching near the site of whatever. Swelling, bruising, redness, pain, sensitivity, itching, firmness, swelling, lumps, bumps, discoloration, infections. This has... You definitely don't want to use it. A result of the medication could be a blockage of a blood vessel, which can cause skin tissue death. You know, like when it turns black and dies, mm-hmm. and they have to cut it out. Impairment of the vision, blindness, and can cause a stroke. And a bacterial infection that could kill you. What would you do that would be worth that? And the answer is, just to save time, this is an injection that reduces wrinkles on your face.
What is 99% of medications administered in the United States to date?
I was about to say a laxative.
I was watching this commercial for Juvederm, which they have...
Like rejuvenate.
Yeah, they have not sponsored this podcast at all, and if they tried to, we would say, no. Absolutely, we'll take the money. We can use everything we got.
We'll take the
every
money.
Cent.
We'll take every
Don't
cent.
Don't give me your injection, but I'll take your money.
But I was watching this commercial. I saw it a couple of weeks ago, and I wrote it down. I said, I got to talk about that on the podcast. In order to reduce, not even eliminate, reduce wrinkles on your face. Yeah, I'll risk a stroke. So there are people crazier than shooting 10 half-court shots.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what people are willing
Vanity
to do
is a
to
real
try to.
Thing.
So that would lead in to, is it worth it? What are you doing with your life? And is it worth it? Juvederm, not worth it.
Not worth it.
But Tom, what are you doing with your life that's worth it?
Well, you see, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge
and Juvederm.
And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing.
All right.
They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which is really what brought us to this episode here, is the fact that well, you opened up to us last week, and that was awesome.
That would be Sean.
But the fact that you know, we're not to just stay where we're at. We're not to do that. We're supposed to be continuously trying to grow, getting a better relationship with God, And so today, we Dave and I are going to talk about what's been going on in our lives ever since pretty much the podcast started, because we gave you our testimony up to the podcast point, and then we haven't really talked anything after that. And it was interesting because a lot actually has happened in my life since we started this podcast. At the time that we started this podcast, I used to own an ice cream shop.
You used to own a Fohawk.
Called Rifters on High.
He did. He had a Fohawk.
And I had a Frohawk. I forgot about the Frohawk. Yes. It's funny because I actually just downloaded this picture today, which no one's going to be able to see, but...
That's good.
It's going to make for great radio. Wow, that is great radio right there.
That is... Lisa, can we post that at some point? That is...
Oh, my God.
I think that should... Dave,
we're going to pop that
Sunday,
up
yeah, during his sermon.
Share that.
I'm just going to send that right now to the group, and Lisa is more than that.
That's going to go out while he's preaching on Sunday.
Welcome. See, that's why I don't want to.
Whoever runs the sound.
The gloves are off now.
Yeah.
He got voted in. The gloves are off. We're messing with him all the time.
Good.
All right. That got shared with the group. It'll be up on Facebook.
So we owned an ice cream shop at the time, and my wife and I had, and still do, which is now the Compassionate Ministry of the Royal Church of the Nazarene. It's a nonprofit called Illumination Community Outreach. We ended up housing community outreach in the basement of the ice cream shop. Through COVID, the ice cream shop really slowed down. Sales were bad. So we started to do outreach out of Rifters on High, the ice cream shop. It got to the point where my wife and I didn't even look at the shop as an ice cream shop anymore. We looked at it as a ministry. It's what we looked at it as. And... okay. And so we started looking at it as a ministry, and I'll never forget, about 3 weeks before I decided to close the ice cream shop for good because it just wasn't getting any money, pastors started coming to my ice cream shop and introducing themselves to me. And it was literally happening every single day. And I remember going to my wife, Claire, and saying, "Sweetie, all these pastors keep coming to the ice cream shop. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I don't know. It's so weird." And she's like, "Yeah, that is really weird, right?" And finally, I had to decide to shut the ice cream shop down. And I went up to my wife and I says, "Well, what am I going to do now?" You know?
That was a sad day.
And
Sean and I gained a lot of pounds there.
Yeah. Sean drank
caffeine.
I have never seen somebody drink as much coffee as this guy did at the ice cream shop.
That was such good coffee.
I don't eat ice cream anymore. I'm down like 8-9 pant sizes, but those were some good days.
Oh, those crepes.
Some bad nights and some terrible nights.
The crepes were really good. Crepes were really good. And it's funny because the crepes is something that I brought into the ice cream shop to try to get me through the winter months, because I opened in the summer, had a great opening summer, and then once winter came, nobody was coming in. So I shut it down, and then I was going to open it again in March, and that's when COVID hit, so I couldn't open it. But 3 weeks, you know, we finally closed the ice cream shop. I said to my wife, "What am I going to do now?" She looked at me and she goes, "You know what this means?" And I said, "No, I have no idea what this means." She goes, "This means God wants you to go into ministry full time." And at that time, my ministry was Illumination Community Outreach. It was helping the homeless. It was, you know, homeless outreach in Pottstown. And she said, "Just work Illumination full time. And I got us till the Lord figures out what he wants to do with you. I can pay the bills. It's fine."
Having a sugar mama.
She is my sugar mama. I love her to death.
Listen, I don't blame you one bit. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean.
I do.
Yeah. So
I've had quite a few lean months in this business over the years.
Yeah. And
want us to leave?
And then the funny part about that, what did you say?
I have no idea.
Want us to leave?
The funny part about that
just
was
gotta go
that
find one. God has a plan for you.
Yeah. I mean, you...
Stop it.
Okay.
He said Tom, he said he knows a lot of phone numbers. I read into that a little more than I should have.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's funny, he said, "I know all these phone numbers," and then he just talked about his son, one number.
But there's a lot of numbers in that number.
Don't worry about it.
Hey, you know what? Real quick, Tom, I'm going to go next week. I actually want to go next week. I'm going to give the floor to you for the whole episode.
Yeah.
Because next week I have a good idea for a topic and I'll lead into it with my testimony.
So yeah, ahead. That works.
Oh, very good.
That works. So there was a vacant office in this church next to Pastor Pete's office. And I remember walking in, and I looked at Pastor Pete. I said, yo, I'm just going to start coming into this church every day and coming into this office and just working on ministry, trying to help you with the church. And you know, you don't have to pay me, but I'm just going to, in that way, I'm out of my wife's hair because she works from home, you know. And
we've heard you say that before, but you never told us what his reaction was.
Well, before I get to his reaction, this is a funny story that I just thought of. One of the main reasons that my wife wanted me to take that empty office and start coming to the office is because I got into this hobby of collecting old Bibles.
And Reese's Pieces.
And the Bibles were really big, so my wife wanted the Bibles out of the house. And she said, if you get a spare office over there, you can bring your Bibles with you and take them over there. Wow. And of course, I'm like, that's a great idea.
That's crazy, man.
Pastor Pete's reaction was this. Dude, that's awesome. Do it. Come in the office. And little did he know, the very next day, you guys know that big monitor that I have, like the big TV?
Yep.
I start walking in with that. He goes, what is that? You're going to just watch? I'm like, this is one of my monitors. And I start coming in.
He's just going to watch Netflix.
Start literally moving all my stuff into the office. I don't think he thought I was serious when he said it. And I just started moving all my stuff in there and just started doing ministry work. I started working on men's ministry with Sean here, mm-hmm. and just seeing what I can do to help the church out, And then finally, Pastor Pete came up to me and said, hey, you can't just keep coming in here every day and doing this for free. You gotta get paid for what you're doing. And I said, well, listen, that's up to you. My wife told me to go into ministry full time. This is what the Lord's telling me to do. So whether you pay me or not, I'm still going to come here and do ministry.
So was Claire working from home then?
Claire was working from home.
That's why she sent
me. She wanted me out of the house.
Yeah, it was the Bibles. It was the Bibles.
Yeah.
By the way, I was going to mention this earlier. Tom got voted on Sunday to become the head pastor of the church. And what would you want? And they vote after the sermon. So if I were in his place, I'd want to make sure it was the best sermon I ever did.
I took off.
He sent his wife. He sent Claire. He said, Claire, make sure it's a good one. They're going to vote on me after.
So he sent the best he could.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put his best foot forward.
So it's interesting. Let's talk about that for 2 seconds. No, let's talk about that for 2 seconds. So when the board decided to nominate me as the next lead pastor here, we knew at that point, according to the manual, that you have to give a 2-week heads up. And then on the third week will be when the voting will take place.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife said to me, she goes, honey, and I was on a schedule to preach that day. She goes, honey, I know how you are, and I know how your nerves are going to be that day. My advice for you is to not only not preach that day, but take off everything. I didn't do church news. I didn't do the opening. I didn't do the pastoral prayer. I didn't do anything that day. I opened up in the circle.
She was so afraid of what you were going to say.
She's like, you might blow it.
She's like, you might blow it, and then you'd end up back at home. They wouldn't even let you sit in the spare office.
Pastor Pete's not there. He's the one that told you could use the office.
They'd have to bring all those Bibles home. Listen, Tommy. She calls you Tommy, right? Yo, Tommy.
Tommy.
Hey, Tommy.
Tiny Tommy.
I'm going to preach on that Sunday.
And you know what? She was right, though, because I was literally, like, I was pacing a lot on Sunday. I was pacing a lot. You know, nerves were definitely acting up. I've never been in a position in my life. I'm about to be 49. I've never been in a part of my life where people were actually going to vote on me for something.
That's crazy, man.
I've never been in that position. I never thought I would be in a position where people would have to vote
on
me
crazy.
To see something.
I would not want to be in that position.
I do have a question. Just because I've been through the process before, and when a senior pastor leaves, the associate has to also put in their resignation.
Which we did.
So are you going to hire yourself now that you're the senior pastor as the associate pastor, or are you going to fire yourself as the associate pastor?
So it's interesting. And I love the questions coming in. I do. So by default, right? So I already fired myself as the associate pastor.
Oh, you already fired? All right, well, good.
Yeah.
How do you live with yourself?
Well, but actually, I'll be honest. I was never the associate pastor because I was going to become Pastor Pete's associate as soon as I got district license. So I was just a community outreach servant.
That's true.
Loopholes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Get back to your testimony. Quit procrastinating. Keep getting off track here.
So, yeah. So I fired myself from that position.
Terrible guy.
So I started coming here. Pastor Pete said to me, hey, listen, we're going to have to start paying you for this. So we're going to give you an interview process. I'm going to make it legit. I'm going to bring members from the church to come in. I'm going to bring six members from the church, and we're going to sit through an actual interview with you. And I said, okay, that's fine. But I just need to let you know something. If you guys decide that you don't want to hire me, I'm still coming in every day and doing ministry. Because my call, I told him exactly this. I'm like, my call doesn't come from you. This is what God wants me to do right now. So I'll do all this for free. I don't care. This is what the Lord is telling me to do. And he was like, all right. So I literally went in there, like, not with an ounce of, like, I wasn't nervous at all about it because it didn't really matter if I got it. My wife and I were fine as far as paying the bills and stuff, so it didn't matter. And they you know, I went through the interview, got the job, and it's weird because it's not like I started right away because I was already doing it. It's just I started getting a paycheck for it.
Mm-hmm.
But through that, it's interesting because even though I wasn't getting paid before, once you start getting paid, you kind of step it up a little bit. You kind of, you know, because before it was like, all right, I'm coming in, but I really don't have to come in.
Right.
You know, if I want to take this day off and not come in, I really don't have to because I'm just doing this, you know, for the Lord. But it's not really, I'm not accountable for anybody except for God. And as long as I'm doing what I feel that he wants me to do, I don't have to. So things changed a lot as far as like, and not that Pete said, hey, you got to stick to a schedule and stuff, because I was hired part time, but I still came 5 days a week, even though I was hired part time. And then, you know, at that point was when I started going to school. I talked to you about getting my local minister's license and I started attending Nazarene Bible College. And from there, I just, you know, I talked about my sanctification story in my first testimony, and that was December 19th of 2019. And from that point on, my whole thing is just because the first class I took was spiritual formation. And the main thing that I learned from that class is one of the best ways to work on your relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what I was telling you last week, was by working on your relationship with other people, by serving other people. Mm-hmm. And through that process of serving other people and putting yourself aside and putting other people before you, you're working on your relationship with Christ. Right. So I've really been applying that to my life. One of the main things that I've changed from the last testimony to this testimony is my prayer life, right? My prayer life before looked like, okay, wake up in the morning, you know. I wouldn't pray right away, but I would pray when I had my devotions. I would pray before meals. I would pray if I needed, you know, like, oh, Lord, something's happening, you know. But now my prayer life is not a specific time. It's just I try to stay in constant communication with Jesus, regardless. I just try to stay. It's not like I'm starting and ending. It's just.
That's like Pastor Carey, right? I've heard him talk about that.
Yeah.
Did you get that inspiration from him?
I got that inspiration from a prayer retreat. He was talking about that. And, you know, and I'm also getting better as, because I was always talking when I'm praying. And now I'm getting better at just sitting in silence and trying to listen to what God is trying to tell me, you know, because a lot of times we just pray, but we don't wait for a response. We just like, amen, and then we just go do what we have to do, you know. So I actually implement a lot of prayer walks in my life now where I actually just go out and I just try to listen to God's direction in my life. I remember one of the sermons I did. I was on a prayer walk, and it was on Thursday night, and I had my sermon written, and the Lord changed my sermon that Thursday, and I ended up doing something else all completely different.
I feel like all pastors say that, like, that once in a while. It's like, I was, you know, I had something Saturday night, and God told me to do something else, and I'm just like, a lot of wasted effort. You could have just waited till Saturday night and procrastinated the whole time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then you know, it's interesting because when I started working alongside with Pastor Pete, I never realized how many hats a pastor wore till I started working alongside with him. Mm-hmm. And I remember at that time telling my wife, listen, I am cool. I actually would prefer to stay as an associate pastor for the rest of my life. I'm cool with that. I would love that. That would be great because I know what he's going through. Mm. And then in July, when Pastor Pete decided that he wanted to take a leave of absence, which he started in August. No, he started his leave of absence in September. At that point, I remember I was playing basketball, And Pastor P comes running out to the basketball court and says, yo, the board wants to talk to you. And I said, oh, okay. And I go in there and they're like, hey, we'd like you to fill in while Pastor Pete is gone for 2 months. So I said, fine. And those first 2 months, I had no idea. I thought I knew all the hats that a pastor wore, but I really had no idea until I started actually filling in for Pastor Pete on how much a pastor actually does. And then that 2 months, I was fine with, because I knew it was just 2 months. I knew I was just filling in, and I wanted my pastor to come back. Then it turned into 4 months, and I remember going to my wife and saying, I don't know what I should do, because, you know, I was doing 2 months, and now these next 2 months I got a class that I got to take, so I got to go back to school. So now I got to try to fill in and do schoolwork, you know. And I remember talking to Pastor Bill Foss about it, and he gave me the best advice, which I'm still following to this day. He said, listen, keep going through the open doors. Keep walking through those open doors. And when God is ready to shut the door on you, he'll shut it. So just keep walking through them. And I was like, wow, okay. I'm just going to continue to keep walking through these doors. So I did another 2 months. And I remember to this day, because I even told the board. I was crying on the board meeting. I took it personal, because I got a call. No, I didn't get a call. I got a text message from Pete saying, hey, I'm going to be at the board meeting tonight. I'm resigning. And I'm like, wow, okay. What does that mean now that he's resigning? What does that mean with me as far as like the whole filling in thing? Because I had 2 months, and then I'm like, all right, mentally ready for another 2 months, you know. But I kept hearing what Bill said. Hey, you keep walking through those doors. You know, if your church needs you, you keep walking through those doors, and God will let you know. You know, because then I started thinking, well, what's going to happen now? Are they going to ask me to just keep doing this till they find somebody? Because that's hard to continue to do something, trying to wait for somebody to say, hey, we're not sure how long you're going to do this, but just continue to do that till we find something, right?
You weren't able to make any decisions or any calls or anything while you're in like that interim position.
And I went to Mac Weekend, and they reset that to me. They said, listen, just understand that right now you are filling in. You're not to change anything that's going on in that church. You're not to implement anything new in that church. There's no authority with what you're doing. You're just filling in. That's it. They said some other things I'm not going to get into.
They call you short.
Yeah, they call me short and funny looking, big ears.
They call him a short-term solution.
Did you wear that t-shirt I gave you?
So are there days that you like wait outside your house at night and like Claire comes out and goes, why are you out here? And you're like, the door was closed. She's like, I'm sorry. I know you need me to open the door for you.
Oh, man. Sorry.
Who's calling? You can take the call. Just take the call.
I should have?
No, definitely shouldn't have. That would have ruined the show.
Sorry.
But, yeah, so then that turned into, well, you know, we don't know what to do. We got to wait for the superintendent to come talk to the board, right? And so the day that Pastor Pete resigned, he had to talk to Pastor Kerry Willis before talking to the board. It's just the way the manual says he has to do it. And he did. So Pastor Kerry Willis already knew. So the very next day, Pastor Willis called me and he told me, he said, listen, I got to talk to you. I'm going to, you know, he actually left me a voicemail because I didn't pick up. My phone didn't even ring. I just had a missed phone call. And I listened to his voicemail. He said, hey, listen, it's me. I want to make sure that we get some time aside at the prayer retreat because I got to talk to you. And I want to know where your heart's at. It's what he said, right? So I said, okay, all right. 2 days later, I read on the manual that we have to resign when the lead pastor resigns. And I'm like, well, is that a thing? Do we have to? So I called Pastor Kerry Willis and I said, hey, listen, do we got to hand in our resignation? He goes, well, he gave me this whole story. He said, if you want, you can send your resignation to me. And if the board asks you for your resignation, tell them to call me and talk to me about it. But while I have you on the phone, why don't we talk? And he said to me, I'm going to be honest, when Pastor Pete first called me in August to tell me that he was going to take a leave of absence for 2 months, at that point I knew he wasn't going to come back.
Mm.
He said, the Lord put in my heart that he was not going to come back. So since his first phone call in August, I have been praying fervently to God about who God wants to lead the Church of the Nazarene. And at this point, it's been, what, almost five, like 4 months.
It's been a while.
And he said, and I'll be honest, he hasn't put one person in my heart of who to call. Usually the Lord tells me or gives me an inclination of someone to call or people to call. He hasn't put anybody in my heart except for you. But I need to know where your heart's at. So that's why I want to talk to you at the prayer retreat. So Pastor Kerry and I spoke at the prayer retreat, and he, you know, he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I just want to do God's will. That's all I want to do. You know, it's, and I'll be honest with you, the whole leading the Church of the Nazarene as the lead pastor is not something that Tom Rivera wants to do, but it's something that makes sense for that church because of the direction it's going. You know, I've been filling in for 4 months. I got a great relationship with the board. I got a great relationship with the church. I got a great relationship with the community. You know, he goes, okay, I'm going to talk to them. And the board voted to nominate me as the next lead pastor. And then 3 weeks later, the church voted to make me the next lead pastor. And you know, it was interesting to me because this isn't for me. You guys know my testimony, right? So I keep thinking back to the years where I turned my life on Christ, the years that I was doing the drinking and the drugs, and I did jail time and all that. And I'm like, man, me? You want this guy to lead your church? Are you sure? And I told Pastor Kerry that. I'm like, it's hard to believe. And he goes, well, you're in good company with a lot of the characters and the biblical characters.
I was just thinking that.
Mm-hmm. You know, God doesn't call the qualified, right? He qualifies the call.
Amen.
Ooh.
All right. So, and that's something that I live by now, you know, because I know that, you know, And honestly, and I've been telling the church this since day one, the only way this is going to work with me leading this church is if Tom Rivera doesn't lead the church.
Amen.
That's the only way this is going to work if it's Tom Rivera doesn't lead the church. The second Tom Rivera decides to do anything in this church is the second that everything's going to mess up. What I have to do is I got to be a sanctuary for Christ. I got to allow Jesus to use me in any way that he wants to, in whatever way that looks like, and just do what's in his will for this church. Because if I try to do it myself, it's not going to work. And it means surrendering all to Christ. Every bit of my existence surrendered to Christ and just allow him to use me the way he wants to. And I also told the church and I told the board, you know, I'm gonna retire. I'm hoping that this is my first and last church. I really don't want to go anywhere else. But I am going to retire in 90 years. And when I retire from this church in 90 years, I told the church this, I told the board this, they're not going to look back and be like, man, we had the smartest pastor. They're definitely not going to say that. They're not going to say, man, that pastor had the greatest sermons ever. He was just such a great preacher. Mm. They're not going to say that. They're not going to be like, man, he was the most theological thinker I have ever met. They're not going to say that either. But they're going to say, you know what? He was always present.
And passionate.
He was always there for me. Whenever I had a problem, I was never alone. He walked with me the whole time. You know, no matter who showed up, Pastor Tom was always there and always ready to do whatever was asked of him, you know? And I think, and I've had a lot of people from the district contact me and affirm that, saying, not by like saying, dude, you're dumb.
You're dumb. You can't speak.
You can't speak.
You don't know anything about the Bible.
You don't speak good.
But they're like, you know, the way the direction the church is going, you're so good at relationship building, and having relationships with people and talking with people and being there for people. And that's exactly what the church needs. And that's exactly the way the Lord is going to use me for this church. And you know, it's interesting because when I first gave my last testimony, if you would have asked me, do you think you're going to be a lead pastor one day? I probably would have said, I don't know, but I don't think so. And I definitely wouldn't have said I would have been the lead pastor here because I never saw Pastor Pete going.
Right.
But one of the craziest things that happened, I told Pastor Pete this just 2 days ago. Some I have told this story that I'm about to tell right now at least 8 times because it's my go-to point to my call to be the lead pastor at this church. So I gave you this testimony of when I used to come to this church for months and do all this work. 5 days, and it was interesting because I used to come 5 days a week, but Pete would only come four, maybe three. And I used to come 5 days a week, and that didn't even bother me. I'm like, because this is my call. I got a call. They were opening a Pottstown shelter, and I got a call from Deacon Dennis Coleman. And he said to me, hey, listen, we're opening up a shelter. We have nobody in mind but you. You have the experience. We want you to be the executive director of the shelter. Here's the pay. The pay was pretty good. And you don't even have to interview for it. We want you to be the executive director. And I'm not going to take no for an answer. And I'm like, wow. And I remember getting so excited. And I'm like, listen, I'm probably going to take it, but I got to pray and I got to talk to my wife about it. And I got off the phone. I called Claire and I'm like, guess what? She was all excited because it's still ministry work, right? It's still ministry work. So now I went, you know, I looked at it as, man, I put all that time in and now the Lord blessed me. And that's a lesson. A lot of times you think you're getting blessed because something good happens and you go after that because it's a shiny little object and you think it's a blessing from God. And you got to be careful and you got to make sure you're listening to Christ, what he wants you to do. Because I called my wife, she got excited. My second call after my wife was my pastor. And I told Pastor Pete, I said, hey, brother, guess what? He goes, what? I said, I just got offered the executive director position at the Pottstown shelter, and they're going to give me a salary, benefits, and it's you know, and they're going to pay me this much. And he's like, wow, that's really great. But I was kind of hoping you were going to help me lead this church. My immediate words to Pastor Pete was like, you got it. I'll call him right now and deny the offer. I called Deacon Dennis. And I said, listen, I'm going to try to find somebody for you that's qualified and can do the job, which I did. I got him Tom Nyhas. But I got to deny the offer because my pastor wants me to help him lead the church. He goes, but you're not getting paid for that. I'm like, listen, if a lead pastor is telling me this, knowing that I could have this, that's the Lord using him to talk to me. And I got to say yes to this, you know. And I go back to that all the time. And I just told Pastor Pete that. He goes, I remember that. And if it, I could have easily went after the shiny object and be like, yes, I'm going to get a paycheck now. I'm going to have money. I'm going to be doing an industry where I've already been doing, you know, working with the homeless. I know the people that are going to be in the shelter. I got relationships with them. I see them every Wednesday and a lot of other days back then. But yeah, all it took him to say is, wow, I'll never forget the butter. I'm like, butter? He goes, but I was kind of hoping you would help me lead this church, bro. It didn't. Within 2 seconds, I said to him, "I'm gonna call right now, and I'm not gonna take that offer." You're right. I gotta help you lead this church.
Wow.
And now I look back at that, and I'm like, I see God in every single detail. I know why all those pastors were coming into my ice cream shop. I have a relationship with all those pastors now that came into my ice cream shop and introduced themselves. I closed the ice cream shop as a ministry. And looking back and reflecting at my journey ever since I closed the ice cream shop, I see Jesus in every single little situation. There was things that I needed to learn. You know, there's things that I needed to learn. I needed to learn how to have an open door. John Nyhas, who's Tom's dad, he was the one who taught me about the open door policy that I had with the homeless people. Because the one time I was getting pretty up, like, worked up with, like, man, they just come in. They don't respect the ice cream shop. They just want free food. This is a place of business. I don't mind helping them, but this is my business. This is my business, right? And I remember John Nyhas walking in, and my wife told him my problem. And that was the first day I met him. And I started talking to him, and he's the one that made me realize that this is not your business. This is not your ice cream shop. This is God's ice cream shop. You're just running it for him. If you're losing clients or customers because the home, because you're helping the homeless, that's on them.
Yeah.
That's not on you. God's going to bless you. Which, and I'll still remember the conversation that I had with Dave sitting outside. I'll never forget that. Dave's like, because I was dealing with a homeless situation. I come back, I sit back with Dave, and he goes, wow, bro.
I remember that too.
How do you handle that situation? How do you allow him to do that? And you're so calm about it. And I remember looking at Dave and said, it's not my table. It's God's table.
I remember that conversation, and the thing that struck me, and maybe the thing that struck me that day was that I'd seen him have, I'm a business owner, and I saw Tom have conversations with customers. And the thing that was strange was that, or to me, was that because I had limited experience with homeless people, was that he didn't change who he was when he was speaking to the homeless person. He didn't denigrate him. He didn't put him down. He didn't anything like that. There was a place he needed to walk that person to, you know, mentally, to get them to understand what was going on and whatever. But it was just so natural for, and if I remember right, there was an issue. The person was, had caused a disruption of some sort, but you took them, you treated them as a person. And knowing you now, I know that you were treating them as God. Mm-hmm. You were treating them as, you know, one of God's children. But you took them and you walked them through the process of getting to where you needed them to get to, but you didn't treat them any differently. And actually, that's one of the things that came to mind when we were talking about a pastor. I said, here's somebody who doesn't treat somebody differently based on status or whatever. This is, you know, how Jesus treats people. But yeah, actually, I'm so excited about what you've said tonight, because it walks directly, as I was preparing for this podcast, talking about my testimony update, the whole time I was like, man, this isn't really a testimony update. This is more of a topic. So I'm really excited to do it next week. It's on 1 Thessalonians, talking about work. So, you know, you're talking about your work and your testimony as an update to talking about the career that you've taken, you're now the pastor of the church, as the New Testament says that we should approach work. As I'm, like you said, I'm doing this, pastor, if you tell me that those church people come back and I can't work here, guess what? I'm still showing up, because this is what God called me to.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm really looking forward to adding on to that next week.
And while I was preparing and just kind of thinking about what I was going to say tonight, and I'll close with this. There's two verses that really impact my life, and the one, you've all heard it, Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law.
Right.
Right. And then the second thing that brings me to where I'm at was exactly what Dave was saying. Is, you know, when I was talking to the homeless person, I was trying to talk to him and let him know how things are and to better himself. And in Ephesians 4:12-13, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And this verse reminds me a lot of you. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right? And that's one of the main things that, and I talk to my wife Claire all the time about, not all the time actually, a lot more all the time, but a lot more this week since I've been elected the pastor, is that bringing someone to Christ is great. It's what we're supposed to do. It's the Great Commission, right? But if we don't disciple them, and we don't show them how to grow their faith, then we're kind of walking backwards. We're missing the whole point, right? And what you're doing with the basketball guys, I'm not trying to get back into that because we talked about it. That's exactly what you're doing, and that's the way I treat everybody. You know, is listen, I'm the way I am because of what Jesus did for me, the sacrifice that he made. I need to follow that same example and sacrifice my own life for you. But I also want to show you and grow you and you know, because faith without works, right?
Yeah.
So that that's my update on my testimony, and I'm excited. I'm humble, above all. Humble is my word. Just humble at the fact that I'm in this situation and this opportunity that the Lord's put in front of me. But at the same time, I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to do with this church, because I'll tell you what, this past Sunday at our church, and you guys might not look at it this way, but my wife and I looked at it this way. This past Sunday at our church, we witnessed a many, many, many revival going on. And it happened between the end of worship and before church news. Crystal handled it amazing. People just started going up to the altar. She didn't go right into church news. She sang an extra song. She did another prayer. And people were just coming to the altar without no altar call. People were just coming up to the front. And it was beautiful. And then the beautiful thing about that is the Holy Spirit moving that Sunday spilled into Power Hour that night. And there were people there, so I confirmed the story that I heard. A miracle happened at Power Hour in this church this past Sunday with Carol Decker's Reagan.
Okay.
With Reagan. Reagan was supposed to go to the ER. She was not doing well. She ended up coming to this church for prayer.
Wow.
And walked out a different person, laughing, smiling, with like feeling like there was nothing wrong with her. Hmm. Tears were shed. A lot of tears were shed. Lois is here. I think she's still on. She was there. And I told my sister when she told me the story, I'm like, that's just the Holy Spirit spilling over into the evening service, man. So that being said, I am excited to see what the Lord has for this church, because right now we have ministries going on all over in this basement on a Tuesday well, night.
It did seem like having been in the church for, 15 years or so, it seemed like Pastor Peter's commission was to come into the church and give it back to God. To come back to a building that people had claimed and that we were guarding for ourselves, and it was a culture of inclusiveness. Mm-hmm. And his commission was to come in and turn it inside out, give the building away, give it away, let people come in and break stuff, let them come in. We want people to come in and give the building back to God and give the ministries back to God. And that was the season he was here for. And now the church belongs to God. That's the it. Ministries belong to God. The minister that was brought here didn't even know he was a minister, and he wasn't even brought here. And so that's the season that we're in. It is a pretty cool place to be that God said, hey, this is my plan. He called Peter his rock, right? On this rock, I will build my church. Peter was a fisherman. He was an unschooled fisherman. And God, you know, he doesn't call who you think he's going to call. Certainly doesn't call anybody who's good looking or tall. Thank you very much for sharing. We really love you and appreciate you.
Thank you, man. Yeah, man.
Can't wait to hear what in 2 years what doors you walk through. If we can get you back, because if we open the door, you're gonna walk out. Lock them up.
Yeah, I'm super excited for what the Lord's gonna do in this church, man. I already see just from this past Sunday alone, man. I was blown away. You and your daughter went up to the altar this past Sunday, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I felt it necessary.
Yeah.
They always watch me go up, and I'm like, you know what? Come on. You're coming with me. And next time, Elijah's going to come up with me. I think we may pray at home and we pray in church, but like we need to pray together, like as a family, like in church, like at that altar, because that's where we need to leave everything, because everybody has a problem. Everybody has an issue. Everybody's going through something, and I need to teach them now that is where you leave it. You leave it at God's feet. You let it go. And then you move on.
Amen. Yep.
Cool. I guess I got to close it out, or you want to do the prayers? I haven't done this in so while. I'm off.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in to the Prodigal Sons, where this show was sponsored by not a healthy snack, but we appreciate.
Juvederm. I thought I was doing so good. I literally thought I was gonna. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I thought I was gonna get compliments from Dave, and yeah, that didn't happen.
I'm going to buy you some stuff. No, no. I'll buy you some stuff.
I'm telling you, the fiber cereal that he got me is great. The stuff that you thought was rabbit food, good.
I'm going to buy you some stuff.
But thank you for watching us. Thanks for tuning in. If you're watching us at a later date, you can catch us on Facebook, YouTube, Podcast Addict, Spotify.
Wherever.
We're everywhere. We're everywhere, just like the Lord. We're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. But
you don't need internet access for the Lord, though, or 5G.
No, but we will be posting on our page emergency numbers for God.
Lots of numbers.
There's a lot of numbers. There's poison control. Numbers. We got them in church to stay in the bulletin.
Don't do Juvederm.
Don't do Juvederm.
And practice your free throws.
Thank you, everybody. We love you. When God opened those doors, go through them. Don't turn away from them. They're open for a reason. Keep going forward. Sean?
Father God, we want to thank you for bringing us together again. Lord, just amazing to sit here with these gentlemen and do this week after week and do what you've asked us to do and keep opening the doors and letting us walk through them. Because, Lord, on our own, we couldn't figure this out, but you bring us together and you give us the words and you give us the things, the people that watch and the people that listen and hear what they have to hear. And there are things that we hear from each other that just help us grow. And, Lord, we thank you for that. So this week, we want to pray for Lisa and everything that she goes through, everything for her upcoming midterm. Lord, be with her, bring her a sense of peace and quiet. So she can get ready for that midterm, Lord. For our sister Betty, Lord, be with her. Lay your healing hands upon her. Just give her the best peace and joy that you can give her, Lord. Bring her healing and let her be just close to you, Lord, as she deals with what she's going through. Lord, for all the prayers that need to be answered, Lord, would you answer them in your way? Not how we expect them, not how we want them, but in what is best to glorify you, Lord. But let those prayers be answered for Randy and his family and for everything they go through, have been going through. Lord, help continue to guide that, continue to bring the right people into the situation and help with all of that. Lord, for my brother Tom, and for the miracle that is that you bring him to your glory, that you are using him for your glory. Lord, continue to use him, continue to guide him, continue to open doors for him, continue to give him a clear path, for not for himself, not for his family, not for this church, but to glorify you and to lead people to you. So, Lord, because it's not for our glory, it's not for what we do, but it's for you. So, Lord, continue to bring him to the places you need him to be. So, Lord, I want to do something different this week, Lord. I want to take a minute. I want to stop. And I want you to speak. I don't want to speak this week. I want you to speak to us. So I'm going to give the mic to you, Lord. If everybody watching and listening would just take a minute with me, just take a moment, and just listen to what the Lord is trying to say to you today. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we are here to do whatever it is you ask of us, Lord. Let us be vessels for you. When people see us, let them see you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sorry. Thank you, guys. Love you. I'm sorry. Have a great week. Hey, it wouldn't be, if it was classy, it wouldn't be us. See you guys next week. Can't wait. It was Tom's new computer.
Love you all.
Bye. Enjoy this independent music brought to you by Tracks on Tracks Productions.